Welcome to the 20th installment of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments. Our last discussion of positive commandment 73, the commandment of vidui, a verbal confession after a misdeed, and positive commandment number 10, the commandment to read the Shema Yisrael twice daily. As we have discussed in over the last few days, the positive commandment 73 is that of vidui dvarim, a confession, a verbal confession, after having performed some sin. And as the Rambam explains in his legal code, this commandment includes also the idea of tshuva. One is also required that it is not only incidental that the commandment applies when one decides to do tshuva, but that the tshuva itself, returning and repenting after doing a misdeed, is also part of this commandment. However, in addition to the actual tshuva, one is required to make a verbal pronouncement, not before a person, but before God, saying that, please, I should be forgiven, I have sinned, and I have done these and these particular actions, and specify exactly what has been done, what was the misdeed. And a person should ask God for mechila, kapara, to be pardoned and for atonement as a result of this misdeed. The Rambam then goes on a lengthy discussion to teach us where exactly this commandment applies, and as we discussed it at length in the first time we discussed this commandment several days ago, we will only bring out the main points now. First of all, even in a case where there is a sacrifice or a similar commandment, where one achieves atonement through its performance, we are nevertheless commanded to make this verbal confession. Therefore, When the korban is being offered and the sacrifice is being brought, one nevertheless makes a verbal confession over the sacrifice. And as we see in the book of Leviticus, as the Rambam quotes from Mechilta, we have a verse saying one must make this confession, but regarding a sacrifice, when one enters the temple grounds after being impure, one must bring a sacrifice as a result of that act. However, the Mechilta brings other verses showing that even in a case of when the death penalty is incurred, the one who is sentenced to death must make a confession before being executed. And so to all prohibitions, after doing tshuva, one must make a confession. And even for a positive commandment, which one has not done, one has not performed this commandment, one is required to make a verbal confession. And so too in interpersonal misdeeds, one has stolen from another or said unfavorable talk about another, lashon hara, aside from the main correction, which is the actual perfection of this lack, one must return the money and so on. In addition, this is also a sin against God, and one must make verbal confession. And so two examples are given of false oaths and cursing. In any of these cases, one must give this verbal confession. So therefore, the Rambam has shown that all mitzvahs must be accompanied by vidui. He further quotes the Mechilta, that although we might think that the commandment applies only during a time period when the sacrifices are being offered, the Mechilta therefore proves that it applies for all times, even when the temple is not in existence. And so too, we might think it applies only in the land of Israel. So therefore, we are given a quote from the book of Daniel, which we say in our slichas, in our penitential prayers before Rosh Hashanah, L'cha Hashem atzdoko v'lonu beishas upon him, that to you God is a charity, and we have only shame. In this, Daniel is evidently asking for forgiveness, and making also a verbal confession on behalf of the Jewish people. And as he concludes, the Rambam concludes from the Sifra that the commandment of vidui dvarim is learned out from the pasuk vizvadu, that one shall confess, make a verbal confession, as discussed, as all of these details are discussed in the last chapter of Tractate Yuma. Positive commandment number 10 is the commandment of reading the Shema Yisrael twice daily. This is derived from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 2, which states v'dibartabam, that you should speak these words, meaning the words of Shema, v'shivtecha b'veisecha, when you're sitting in your house, and so on. The verse comes to say, "Uveshachbacha uvkumecha," when you lie down and when you get up. This is referring to the saying of Shema in the nighttime, when uveshachbacha, when people normally go to sleep, uvkumecha, when people usually get up in the morning. There is an opinion in the Talmud. The disagreement is brought between Hillel and Shammai, whether perhaps this verse means literally you must say the Shema at night when you lie down and say it in the morning when you stand up. However, Hillel says that it applies during a specific time period. Not literally at night do you say it lying down and in the daytime standing up. Rather, it is referring to the time periods in which we say the Shema. The story is told of Rav Tarfon, who one time, after the law was already decided, like Hillel, decided to say it lying down in order to be strict like Shammai. And he was attacked by robbers and almost killed as a result of his lying down in the path to say Shema. Later on, the sages told him that he was actually guilty of being murdered as a result of his rebellion against the opinion, which was the commonly accepted one, the legal opinion, that it does not mean literally one lies down at night, but rather it is said at the time one lies down, meaning after dark. Similarly, the law is brought in the code of Jewish law that someone who is sitting down and is saying Shema in the morning and desires to stand up to say the Shema, since the verse says Uvekumecha, is forbidden to do so. That since he is revealing that he is rebelling against the words of our sages, he is forbidden. Although one could normally read the Shema standing up, one can read it however one wishes, standing or sitting. However, should he already be sitting and stand up as a result of his desire to read the Shema standing, he is forbidden from doing so. The Rambam now goes about showing that this is one of the 613 commandments. First, he quotes the Talmud in Brachas, which states clearly that this is a biblical commandment. Then he brings a second indirect proof from the Tosefta. The Tosefta compares the law of Shema with the law of Tefillah, with davening the standing prayer, the Shemona Esrei. And there, the Tosefta says that just as in the case of Kriya Shema, the Torah has set aside a specific time for us to say the Shema, so too in the case of davening, of saying the prayers, our sages have established a time for the prayers. That although the prayer itself is a biblical commandment, as the Rambam discussed in Mitzvah number 5, and as we will soon get to, God willing, the commandment of prayer, according to the Rambam, is a biblical commandment. Nevertheless, the specific times are rabbinic, as also indicated in the saying of our sages that the prayers were set up to correspond to the sacrifices. Therefore, there is a morning prayer to correspond to the morning sacrifice, an afternoon one, and so on. What do we see from this discussion? That in explaining to us the time for the prayers, the Tosefta told us that just as the Torah has given us a time specifically for when to say Shema, so too our sages by prayer. But along the way we have learned that the Torah has set aside the times for saying the Shema, and therefore it must count as a biblical commandment. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam concludes this commandment by telling us that women are exempt from this commandment. As in all other cases of commandments which are time-bound, which must be fulfilled in a certain time, women are exempt. Therefore, in the law of reading the Shema, women are also exempt. However, as brought in Shulchan Aruch, nevertheless, it is proper that a woman also should say the Shema in order to accept upon herself the yoke of heaven through complete devotion, the complete devotion to God, which is discussed in the Shema. She will come to accept upon herself the yoke of heaven through the Shema and thereby come to fulfill all of the mitzvahs. Regarding the verse Shema Yisrael, the following story was told by the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. In the days of the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Marash, there was a chassid named Reb Pesach, and this Reb Pesach used to travel around from place to place as his business was handling and selling various articles of merchandise. The first time he met the Rebbe Marash and went into Yechidus, a private audience, he received a blessing. And the Rebbe Marash referred to the fact that he was always traveling for his job and said, "You can certainly fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah, who says, "Su'u morem einechem," that you should lift your eyes above, "Uru mi bara eila," and you will see who created all of these. As he later was explained by his teacher, that the Reb Marash was telling him that since he is always in the open, always traveling, he can simply look up at the sky, and through lifting up his eyes, he can see the creator of the world. He will come to an appreciation. And then the Reb Marash cryptically concluded their meeting by saying, "Shema is Yisrael." So this Chassid Reb Pesach went to his teacher to ask what exactly was meant. And his teacher, Reb Mordechai Yoel, explained to him that from the first three letters of the words Su'u Morem Einechem, we have the word Shema, from Su'u the Shin, from Morem the Mem, and from Einechem the Ayin. And therefore we have the words Shema. So when a person says Shema Yisrael, thinks about the oneness of God, he must have in mind the oneness of the entire universe. He lifts up his eyes above to the heavens and sees that everything is total oneness, and says Shema with his entire essence put into the reciting of the Shema. And then when he does this wholeheartedly, he will reach a tremendous level of love for God, and therefore will reach the higher name by which the Jewish people is referred. As we know, Yaakov was the name used for our forefather Jacob before he had the wrestling match with the angel. Afterwards, he was given the name Yisrael. The name Yaakov is lower, indicating serving God out of fear or awe, whereas Yisrael is the higher type, a person who is serving God out of complete love for his Creator. Therefore, when one says Shema properly, he will raise himself up to the level of Yisrael. And this is the meaning of what the Rebbe Marash told him, that Shema is Yisrael, that saying the Shema possibly, properly, will raise you up to the level of being Yisrael. This Chassid heard this at the age of 28, and later on integrated this into his life and made all sorts of efforts in order to be able to properly understand godliness. He told this continuously, and even at the age of 90, he would tell this story with the same excitement as if it had just happened. And he told, at this advanced age, he told the Friedeker Rebbe that whenever he says Shema, in any place of the service, he always remembers this word, Shema is Yisrael. That the idea of Shema, Su'u Morem Einechem, brings a person to the level of Yisrael. And this Chassid prayed that when he finally reaches his last moment, and he must give his soul back up to his Maker, that he asked that he should have the clear sense of mind, that he should be able to say Shema Yisrael, as a person normally does before passing away. But in addition, he asked for a clear mind to keep in mind what the Rebbe told him, that Shema is Yisrael, that in doing so, and saying Shema in such a fashion, and arousing this love for God within, that one can raise themselves up to the level of Yisrael. As the verse says, Sorisi melukim v'noshim v'tuchol, that you fought with angels and with people and were victorious. Indicating the superior level of a Jew, as he is higher than all forms of nature, and even the spiritual forms of nature, which is revealed through the proper reciting of the Shema.